In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So the topic of the homily today is seeing their faith. In the Gospel, the Lord references their faith in regard to healing and forgiveness. In the Epistle, which is associated with the great prophet Elias, the suffering and patient prophets who were steadfast in their faith. So how can we be steadfast in our faith? The epistle shares many different ways that this can be done, and so I'd like to share a little bit of on some of those ideas that St. James gives to us, hopefully we can grow in our faith. That's the goal today, grow in our faith. So first of all, he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So from the beautiful words of St. Paul to the Corinthians, he says, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for putting down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So this is really an important spiritual activity that we need to practice. One is when you have a thought, let it sit next to Christ and determine whether or not it's good or bad. Right? It sits next to Christ. Should I keep thinking this? Yes. Or should I keep thinking this? No. A deed that we're tempted to do, sit it next to Christ. Should I do it or not? Christ will tell you. A word, something to say. Should I do it or not? Mother Victoria gave me this little kind of way to engage a thought, to say something to somebody else. She said, you know, when you think you should say something to somebody, think first, what should I say? How should I say it? When should I say it? Should I say it at all? Most of the time, the fourth one is the one that wins. So bad thoughts, we know bad thoughts strike our heart. They engender desire. They bring disorder. They create gloom and they can cause evil. This is what thoughts do to us. So we need to be able to talk back to them. When you have a thought, speak back to it. No, I don't want to think this. This is not my thought I want to have in my mind. Talk back to it. You know, I get these thoughts sometimes in the middle of the day, or like pre-lunch, like 11 o'clock, this whole idea of what I'm going to eat for lunch. I have to just say, you know, just be quiet. Lunch is going to come. Just wait. You can wait. That thought doesn't need to bother me right now. Okay, and that's a pretty simple one, but there's other things you can do. You can talk back to your thoughts and say yes or no to them. You need to be aggressive with that. And sometimes just reasonably the thought's crazy. You can just by in your own reason say, that's crazy. I don't want to think that. Why am I thinking this? So you can do this. Make your yes, yes, and your no, no. Then he says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. This is how we strengthen our faith. Suffering is difficult, unpleasant, and can be depressing. But it does show us our weaknesses, our dependence on God, can calm bodily appetites, cleanse the soul, and brings down the grace of God. Sickness can bring down the grace of God. God wants to be with you in your struggle. Well, that's why he suffered and died on the cross, that he might be with you in your struggle. In St. John's gospel, the Lord says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done to you. We are asking in prayer to find the will of God. Lord, show me your will. God knows our needs and is with us. We pray to unite our mind and heart to God, to know his will, to be comforted by his loving presence. You know, when sickness and difficulties come, that's where you need to go. You need to rest in Christ. Be with him. This is powerful. You can't get to that spot without a difficulty. I saw this in many ways in watching somebody go through a real struggle in their life, which was headed to departing to a death. But I watched this beautiful growth spiritually through the illness, because this person was turning to God over and over again, turning to God. So we pray. When we pray, prayer warms the heart because God is with us. Prayer steadies the mind because of these guiding holy words that we pray. It strengthens the will because God is our strength. He's our firm foundation, our refuge, and our deliverer. So is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. St. James again. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. We hear in the Psalms, sing praise to the Lord. O you, his saints, give praise to his holy name. Let us come into the presence with thanksgiving. Let us enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to the name, O Most High, to declare thy mercy in the morning and thy truth by night. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is gracious, for his mercy endures forever. We praise God when we are blessed with things. We even pray this, bless us with earthly and good things. When we're blessed with earthly and good things, we need to thank God because he's given us a gift. A gift, but we need to praise him. Be careful not to take credit for it. This is my enemy. I did a really good job here. I deserve this. No. Everything I have, everything you have, has been given to you by God. All the gifts you have, all the abilities you have been given to you by God. And what you've achieved, it's because of those gifts he's given you, so you always are just grateful for him, to him when you get a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to do this. Thank you, Lord, for helping me with this. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing you have given to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We all have our life, our talents that have been given to us by God, and so it's very important that we don't get puffed up by a blessing God has given to us, or feel somehow that we should have more. We should just be, when we get a blessing, we should just thank God for it. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a friend about this, and as we're an older friend, it says, as we're getting older, Father, I notice that every time I begin to take credit for something, God humbles me. like every time. So I said, well, that's a blessing, you know, because when God humbles you, what's he do next? He exalts you, right? You're humbled, God exalts. So this is important, to always kind of bear that humility. Very important to us. So another encouragement from St. James. Is anyone among you sick? Come to the church and be anointed with oil in the name of the Lord to be healed or to bear the illness well. That's what we come for, to be healed or to bear the illness well. Sickness can make us low-spirited and despondent, but here are some words from St. John of Kronstadt. But in God's all-wise, most merciful providence, not a single illness remains without some profit to the soul. Not one single illness remains unprofitable. It profits the soul. We hear these words when we are at the anointing. Oh, Almighty Master, physician of souls and bodies, who humbles and raises up, who chastises and again heals. In your great mercy, visit your servant who is sick. Stretch forth your arm that is full of health and healing. Heal this one. If he has sins or transgressions, loose and remit them and forgive them for the sake of your love toward mankind. God comes to us through the oil. You know, if you have little oils at home, use them. You know, sometimes you get like for St. John, you go up to visit St. John, St. John Maximovich. Oil, use it. Use it. Oils through the oil, God blesses you, heals you, helps you. It's a great, great blessing. I'll tell you a story about this. Somebody gave me a little vial of oil from St. Spiridon. And I got up in the morning and I kind of hustled through the morning to get at it, and I dropped it and it kind of broke open. And I hadn't used it. And so I started dipping my finger in it and anointing myself. It was like Saint Spiridon said, you know, if you're not going to use this, I'm going to break the bottle. And then I'm going to come to you and show you how important this is. So every time I think about it, I anoint myself with it, I go, oh, thank you, St. Spiridon. You broke the bottle so I would use the oil to get a blessing from you. So use this. It's a great tradition in the Orthodox Church, great tradition. St. James also says this, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confession, I used to give this to the kids all the time. Confession is like taking out the trash. Okay. And you know, when you take out the trash and it's only been there a day or so, it's like okay. But what happens when you put that little trash bag away and like 3 weeks later you find it? You open it up. That's what unconfessed sin is doing to your soul. Ooh, like that smelly old bologna sandwich that's been sitting there for 3 weeks. That's what unconfessed sin is doing to you. Take out the trash. Confession is taking out the trash. Unconfessed sin, festering sin, anger, grudges, personal failures sit in us as a dulling agent to our conscience, which needs to be clear so we can see and perceive good and evil. It dulls the conscience. It's like, well, I sinned. Well, what's one more, right? What's one more? What's one more bad thought added to all these other thoughts? You know, you want to clear that out. When we confess, we strike down and scourge away our sins, clearing our conscience. Our soul will feel inner calm and become more vigilant. Confession is that sacrament that our Lord has provided for these very purposes. You know, I love it when it's a blessing for a priest to be able to say this to a penitent, but it's also a blessing for me to be here to hear it from another priest. Your sins are forgiven you. The words, your sins are forgiven. Now that you have no further care for the sin which you have declared, depart in peace. You know, I think Father Hopko shared this story one time. He said there was an old monk that was clairvoyant, could tell people. He could tell the struggles that each of the monks were having. And he said that this monk walked out, they were walking into prayer, and the monk was telling his disciple, this one struggles with lust, this one struggles with greed, this one struggles with anger, And then he said, this one is clear. He said, clear? He said, yes, he just came from confession. Wow. Clear. This one is clear. Having no further care for the sin which you declared, depart in peace. What a blessing. So, these are the things that can strengthen our faith, beloved. So, in conclusion, may our faith be strengthened and made steadfast. Let our yes be yes and our no be no, affirming that which is good and rejecting that which is evil. If you are suffering, pray, drawing near to God, receiving His grace. If you are cheerful, sing praises, thanking God always for all things. If you are sick, come for the anointing, for the healing of body and soul. If you have sins, confess them. Hearing those beautiful, powerful, inspiring words, now having no further care for the sins which you have confessed, depart in peace. May God bless and keep us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, to ages of ages. Amen. Oops, sorry. Okay. For the catechumens. This is where we do the catechumens. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord our God, who dwellest on high and regards the humble with heart, send forth thy salvation, the race of man, the only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Look down upon thy servants, the catechumens, and please come forward. If your catechumens are here with us today, look down from heaven upon thy servants, the catechumens, and bow their necks before thee. Make them worthy in due season to labor regeneration, remission of sins, the robe of incorruption. Unite them to your holy Catholic and apostolic church. Number them with thine elect flock, that with us they may glorify thine all-honorable majestic name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, to ages of ages. Amen.